You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Technology used to create digital impersonations or deepfakes of real people is getting more sophisticated. That as experts and big technology companies worried about the impact they could have on the 2020 presidential election. Last week, Google rolled out a database of thousands of deepfakes it created as a better way to detect fake videos. Facebook has said it's also working on algorithms to find deepfakes. Danielle Citrin is a professor of law at Boston University Law School and author of the book Hate Crimes in Cyberspace. Danielle, welcome back to Central Time.
It's terrific to be back.
Danielle, can you give us a brief explainer of what we mean by deepfake?
A deepfake is machine learning technology that lets us either manipulate or fabricate from digital whole cloth video and audio content that shows people doing and saying things that they never did or said.
So we could take someone's face, for example, and put it over somebody doing or saying something, again, that they didn't do.
Right. So you can insert someone's face. And this has, you know, we've seen sort of rampant use of the technology to insert people's faces into pornography. So you become a porn star without your permission. And increasingly, and this is true, we can, instead of just inserting you into video that exists and that you could check to see if it's, you know, the real from fake, the technology is becoming so advanced that you can actually create from just photos a video or audio of you doing, and then from prior audio recordings, you doing and saying something you never did, so you don't need to insert faces or voices into a video. You can just completely make it up.
And this is not science fiction. The technology is there to do this in a way that, at least without really digging into it, it's going to look convincing to people who see it.
Yes, and increasingly so. So we just saw 2 or 3 weeks ago a really terrific, like, meaning very sophisticated deepfake audio trick a CEO from Germany into wiring money into an account he thought he was, you know, hearing from his, like, boss. And turns out it was a faked audio. And because, you know, whoever had been doing the faking had done a lot of research, so, you know, made it seem really convincing, so that whatever the issue was, the CEO of a subsidiary company really thought it was the parent company CEO telling him to do something that he'd been wrestling with for weeks, so that it made sense, you know, to get this audio, you know, this voicemail saying, do it right now. This is who you send it to. It's in connection with this, you know, deal. And the person wired $250,000, and that was wired to a hacker.
And you also gave in a recent TED Talk, Danielle, an example of a woman, I think a journalist, who had had herself edited into a pornographic video. Can you talk about the impact that had on her?
Yeah. So, you know, the person I talked about, Rana Ayub, is a journalist in India who writes about human rights abuses. And so she had sort of, over her career, gotten used to, you know, some of the rough and tumble of online life. But, you know, nothing sort of prepared her for seeing a video of her. And she's like beautiful woman with big brown eyes and curly hair. And so when you see the video, it looks exactly like her. And she's engaged in a sex act. And so, like, within 48 hours, all of her online accounts were flooded with, like, rape threats and death threats. She was impersonated online, so people said she was available for sex. She basically had to stop writing. She withdrew totally from online life. And she was afraid to go outside, because what if the people who were sending her to her inbox and to her cell phone, you know, death and rape threats, what if they made good on them? And so she really, has to say, like, withdrew from all aspects of life for a good 6 months.
So deepfakes, they have a demonstrated potential to ruin someone's life. They can rip off a theoretically sophisticated bank manager. You are worried about what happens when they start getting deployed in the 2020 elections. Can you talk about your fears there?
Yeah. So just, and it's all in the timing. So imagine if the night before an election, you know, there's a deep fake of, like, a major party candidate, like gravely sick, for example, you know, that could tip the election, because there's just not enough time to debunk it. And of course, that would then call into doubt the whole legitimacy of the electoral project. So I think it's really all in the timing for so many of these things. Like, if you time deep fakes just right, because we have a hard time, like, within seconds or within hours to debunk them, because we really don't have a technical solution, it can change world events in ways that are not only, like, undermine elections, but could cause physical harm, you know, riots. I, you know, my co-author Bobby Chesney and I worry about kind of these broad systemic concerns, not only, of course, for individuals, but really for the truth, like the idea that we can believe what our eyes and ears are telling us. You know, we're going to believe fakery, you know, before it's debunked. And even then, if it confirms our biases, it sticks with us. You know, audio and video, it's so visceral. We believe it. And so if it's something that confirms our prior viewpoints, we might still believe it, even if it's fake.
And another fear, even if it's real, if I'm on video saying something horrible and I say, ah, no, that's clearly a deep fake. I didn't say anything. It not only does it make lies appear true, it can make truth appear to be a lie if we want it to.
Yeah. Yep. And Bobby and I, Chesney and I call that the liar's dividend. You know, the notion that mischief makers, liars, will say a real video of them doing and saying something disgusting, awful, criminal. Hey, you know, that's a deep fake. You can't believe it. And that's where, you know, we're going to see a decrying of the truth on the notion that you can't believe anything. And, you know, we saw President Trump do it with the Access Hollywood tape. You know, he, of course, first admits it and says he's sorry. But a number of months later, he said, that wasn't me. You know, folks didn't believe it. But I'm not going to be surprised that liars are going to try to take advantage of the phenomenon of deep fakes to just say nothing is real, including, you know, real proof that they have done wrong.
Danielle Citrin is with us, professor of law at Boston University Law School, author of the book Hate Crimes in Cyberspace. We're talking about deepfake audio and videos and how to stop it. Maybe, Danielle, it sounds also scary, but you say it's not hopeless. What are the things we could be doing now?
So, you know, there isn't a silver bullet. Folks, whenever I talk about it, like to say, OK, you're a lawyer, law professor. How are we going to fix it? You know, how is law going to sort of solve all the problems? And the truth of the matter is law is a tool. There are some tools in the toolbox that we have right now. We don't, like, law really needs, we need some work to do with law. And so my colleague Marianne Franks and I from the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative are working with folks on the Hill to draft a very narrow statute that would address digital impersonations that cause harm. But, you know, law is just, so law isn't a great avenue right now, and we're working on it. But even if we pass all the laws needed, you know, we know law is so blunt an instrument. We don't want to overuse it. So, you know, another part of the story really has to be tech companies. And so in giving advice to Facebook and Twitter, as I have done in an unpaid way for the past couple of years, my advice is to ban deepfakes, but only deepfakes that cause harm. And so that, of course, is an expensive project. You need content moderators to look at the content and context of a deepfake to figure out if it's like parody, which should stay up, or if it's a harmful impersonation. And so I think that it has to be part of the solution. But also in so many respects, you know, it's kind of on each and every one of us. I have to say, and I'll include myself in this, all of us, we click, we share, we like, and we don't spend enough time thinking about it.
Now, Google recently created and released a database of a few thousand deepfake videos as a first step effort here. Facebook has said it's going to do something similar. Do you see these as encouraging starting points anyway?
Right. Those efforts are really interesting and valuable because what it's an attempt to do is to enlist fellow technologists to experiment with creating tools of detection or more sophisticated tools of detection. Now, when you talk to technologists like the brilliant Hani Farid, he will say, we're working on it. We're not there yet. You know, the ability to detect, have a tool that would detect any and all deepfakes because of the variety of video, you know, that we use. There isn't one algorithm that can detect deepfakes, but that's not to say that we shouldn't be experimenting and trying and working on it. So I welcome those developments.
We have this ongoing effort to figure out which emails are scams, spams, and viruses, and it's just kind of a never-ending war. One new change happens, it gets fixed, a new thing comes along. Is that what we're going to be with deepfakes? You know, we're catching some of them, but new ones are coming at us?
Right, and it's particularly true given the nature of the technology that creates it. It's called the generative adversarial network, and so one algorithm generates the deepfake. The other algorithm sort of tests it and finds weaknesses in it. Now, the detector of each algorithm is really just tailored to the generator. And so while you have so many technologies that create these things, any given detector is really only tailored to detect what has been generated through its own system. And so that's going to make a diversity of all of these different kinds of deepfakes. And the problem with reason why we don't have one detector is because there's such a diversity of these generative tools.
Danielle, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you so much.
Danielle Citrin is a professor of law at Boston University Law School. She joined us to talk about deepfake videos and the impact they could have on democracy.